When you hear this, sticks and stones will... Words. Good translation of that particular passage. What about this one? In the beginning was the Word. And we are going to talk about words a little bit today. I have an artist acquaintance who's at the on-site detox center. And I was speaking with him last week, and he made this comment, "My past is before me, and my future is behind me." And for him, that was a statement of sort of where he felt he was in his life. That his past was controlling his present, and he didn't really have a future. I pondered that statement thinking about my past and my future. And I think when we ponder together, we actually need generous spaces and safe places, which gives the seeds for us to have new imagination and good soil to grow into whatever the future is going to be. Maya and I have been attending this church since the summer of 1985, which is 32 years ago. When we came, I think I was taller, most likely skinnier, had red hair, not white hair. Don't know if I had a beard back then, but yeah, Maya's saying yes. Our son Nathan was 5 years old. He now is the person who drives you around in your bus, and he's 37. Our daughter was 3 years old, and she's now 35 and is a mother of two small boys. How many of you have been here longer than 32 years? Put up your hands. Way to hang in there. How many of you have been here, let's say... five times or less? Nobody yet. Okay. How about anybody, 5 years or less? Okay, we have a few. And then how many haven't put up their hands yet? Thank you. Okay. I have found Killarney Park to be a place primarily that's been a generous space. It allowed me to come up here and wear shorts lots of times. And especially when I would play the drums, I'd have shorts on. It allowed me to teach adult Sunday school classes, which was in a season where I wasn't involved in a whole lot of other things at that point. It's allowed me to be on the board. And when we first came, it was our friend Ray Bystrom who said to us, well, I think you should come on the board. And then the next week he said he was leaving. So I felt, maybe not quite the next week, but close to it. It's been a good place for Maya and I. It hasn't been, it's been a good place through many different seasons. Seasons when our marriage was, let's just say, rocky. Seasons when our kids were making me angry at times. Seasons when there was the odd church member who would make me angry. Seasons where life happened. Since 32, Maya's mom and dad and my mom and dad both have passed away. We have had colleagues pass away. We have had just lots of people in our lives who have gone through great sadness. So no matter how long you have attended, I have... enjoyed the journey of Killarney Park, because it is a place where we can think and we can talk and we can wonder together, and where God is still mystery. And when we think we have the mystery tied up and wrapped up in a box, he surprises us again. And sometimes that surprise is a surprise of great joy that you didn't think actually was there. Now, sometimes it's a surprise of a deeper sadness. And so we get to know the God Almighty in one way, and we get to know God of all vulnerability. And when we are dealing with each other, we have to understand that we need to be vulnerable with each other. So here's my statement. Friends, if our church does not listen and act on the words of James chapter 4, 11 and 12, I fear we might end up in a place which states our past is before us and our future is behind us. I believe these words are really important as we think about what day, what the next day or the next season is going to bring us. And so what do these two verses say? Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. Now, what does this mean? Most commentaries speak about Leviticus 19:18, which talks about loving your neighbor. However, if this James is the brother of Jesus, I wonder if he heard Jesus when he said, when he was asked, you know, what's really important? And he responded, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And then the part of, and all the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. That ends that little section. So when you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Now, the message puts it this way. Don't badmouth each other, friends. It's God's word, his message, his royal rule. That takes a beating in that kind of talk. You're supposed to be honoring the message, not writing graffiti all over it. God is in charge of deciding human destinies. Who do you think you are to meddle in the destiny of others? It's quite... This is from Peterson, who seems to be such a nice guy. But he actually gets down into the dirtiness of what does it mean to actually, not judge. What does it mean to, in fact, try hard not to have divisions? That's why our whole last, sort of 2 or 3 weeks, 4 weeks, when David started talking a little bit about the Franklin Graham situation, many of us wanted to not go there. Many of us said, this is not good. We shouldn't be divisive about this. But there were a group of people in our community who said, actually, this is really important. This man says these things, and then he's going to come and tell us that we have to love each other. And we got to love Jesus. And of course, if we love Jesus, Jesus is telling us we got to love each other. And somehow, those two didn't seem to come together. So there was conflict. And what do we do in conflict? I know for me, usually what I do is I just get my voice a little louder, and then I want to try and sort of bully somebody into an opinion. Well, I try hard not to do that. But I know that with my size and the way that I have lived my life, that occasionally that happens. I know that when I am in that situation and people are trying to engage me into different things, which I'm not particularly inclined to be engaged in, I usually just try to leave the situation. But James is saying something here. He's saying, that our words are important. We continue to need spaces that allow us to talk to each other without trying to win an argument or change someone's mind. We need more times like the blanket exercise, to be quite honest. We sat in a circle. We had an eagle's feather and a piece of cedar that represented the talking stick. And the eagle's feather was to help us remember that, like in the scriptures, it talks about being on the wings of eagles. And the piece of cedar was to remind us that in the First Nations tradition, especially Coast Salish, it was part of their healing. They saw it as something that would heal them. When we talk in a circle, we, in fact, there's no, I know you understand this, but there's no beginning nor end, usually. It's not that you go around and say, okay, this person is in chair one, chair two, chair three, chair four, and this person's more important because they're in chair one, then chair two, then chair three. It's a circle. We're coming together as human beings. And part of what the circle did for us, or for me, it reminded me very much of my men's wellness that I do three times a month, because we sit in a circle. We don't have the stick, we don't have a feather or anything, but we go around and we say, what's given you life in this last week? What's taken life away? And for men who live in some desperate situations, it's amazing what sorts of things give them life. Occasionally a man will say, well, I phoned and I had a small conversation with my four-year-old granddaughter. And this is someone who's most, from my remembrance, has not seen them, but just has these little glimpses of conversation. There's something in the human contact. There's something in human relationships which gives us life. And then we ask the question, what takes life away? And many of them will just immediately say, my addiction. And of course, they're talking about addictions like alcohol or rubbing alcohol or heroin or crack or drugs, whatever. And if we sat in that circle, I'm not sure what we might say. You know, maybe IKEA is my addiction. Or maybe it's having that right brand of coffee in the morning. Maybe it is the fact that I need to be in control. I am a Christian, but I need to be in control. There are all sorts of other addictions. But that's what they would say to me, is that that's, some of those things are what takes life away. What I really loved about the blanket exercise was that there was no talking over everybody. When people were speaking and they had those symbols, people knew it was not their time to speak. It was someone else's time to speak. Sometimes it's good to have rules like that. There were no private conversations going on while that person was speaking, so I didn't turn to Maya and say, oh, that sounds really crazy, or whatever. It was, no, that just wasn't expected. There was something good that was expected, that it was good for everyone to have voice. My fear is that we might start to begin to believe that it's not good for everyone to have voice. And I'm not saying that it means that we have to listen to things that are offensive or things that are violent and derogatory in the sense of that they don't bring wholeness, they don't bring life to that engagement. But I am saying that if we don't want our past to be our future, I think that we need to, in fact, continue to have safe spaces for James 4, 11, and 12 to be practiced, where we listen to each other, where we speak to each other. I mean, how do we do this with our kids? How do we do this with our families? How do we do this just at the corner grocery store? I wonder if it doesn't begin with understanding and knowing that Even though I would like to think I am so much different than everybody else, that maybe there's more connection to all the humanity around us than we ever thought possible. That God's creation is actually, and His humanity, in God's creation and the humanity, there are more things that we have in common, and perhaps more important things we have in common, than we would ever think. And we, lots of times, I know that we say, oh, I'm so glad I don't, you know, and you fill in the blanks. But it reminds me very much of the Pharisee who gets up to pray and says, I am so glad I'm not like that person. And when we do that, James is saying, you've become the lawgiver. You have become the one judging. And he says, at that point, he says, there's only one judge. And I wonder if we don't get ourselves into some trouble at times when we think we know how the judge judges. I wonder if we get ourselves into predicaments which force us to think that this is the exception. I can do this because this is really exception. I remember I had a fellow who came to camp, and we were meeting, and he, in fact, was in a growth group, and I meddled. I did what Peterson said I shouldn't do, and I meddled in that situation, and I told him, I think you should leave. And this was when he was about 16. He's still a good friend, and when he was about 35 or 40, I had this conversation with him, and I said, I am so sorry I meddled. Something God may have wanted to do at that point, I think, wasn't allowed to happen. And he somewhat appreciated that. That was more for me than it was for him in some ways. But I just needed to let him know that I'm not sure that to meddle is what we need to do. Even though we can be good at it. So when we get started talking about issues, for example, am I only engaged when I know that my opinion about those issues is being given? Or have I got the grace to understand that that's another divine person? You know, when you look around this room, and we can say there's not very many, but you know what? You look around this room, every one of us is eternal. Every one of us has been created in God's image. And when you leave this place, the next people you see, whether they're in a car passing you or walking the street, they're also eternal. And we need to try to figure out then, how do we then live when everybody else around us is created in the image of the Holy One, of the Eternal One, of the mystery? So I'm not sure that it's, I think this is a habit that we need to learn how to do well. I think we need to try to figure out, how is it that I can listen? I still remember someone told me once, you know, Al, God gave you two ears and only one mouth. You should use them appropriately in that fashion. And so I wonder how we can continue to do that, and especially how can we continue to do it here with each other when we talk about being community, when we talk about being family together. And I want to just again say, I think what impressed me most about the blanket exercise was just simply the process of the final discussion, which was about 45 minutes. And it was, as Ruth and others have said, there was good information and there was ways to respond at that point. I mean, part of the problem is we're a culture that reinforces our uniqueness, which I believe is good, but I am concerned as I read James that perhaps we should try to also see how we are alike. Could it be that in our humanity we are more similar than different? All are created in the image of God. All are eternal beings. In our original DNA, could we be much more similar to each other and to the triune God, who at his core is relationship, and at the core of that relationship is love. And so three in one, one in three, that divinity which is hard to put into words. One of my thoughts around New Year's was I wanted to read more poetry. So I'm going to read you a poem. This is called Gorillas of Grace, and it's not the animal gorillas in the sense of, big furry creatures. This is more the revolutionary gorillas in armies and whatnot. But this is called Gorillas of Grace. And this is just simply called In the Silence, Name Me. Holy One, untamed, by the names I give you, in the silence, name me. Name me that I may know who I am. Name me that I may hear the truth you have put into me. Name me so I can trust the love you have for me, which you call me to live out with my sisters and brothers in this family and our human family. Another poet that I've read and really liked is a black woman who's about 70 by the name of Marilyn Nelson. And I highly recommend you just look her up and see. But she has a friend who goes by the name of Abba Jacob. And Abba, if you remember, is father or daddy. And is very similar to some of the names of the desert fathers. So these people who would go off and become mystics, basically, in the deserts, in the early, early days of the faith. And so she said, she had this conversation, and out of this conversation came this little poem. Abba Jacob said, or Jacob, there's a big difference between the mentalities of magic and of alliance. People who spend their lives searching for God have a magical mentality. They need a sign, a proof, a puff of smoke, an irrefutable miracle. People who have an alliance mentality, know God by loving. Killarney, let us not see our past before us, but the new generous and safe places. Let us see each other and those all around us as having more similarities than differences. May this mean that our conversations with each other would not end in heated argument, but in a coming together to better understand each other, and in so doing put our future into our present and future. And may it be colored and designed by our understanding of James 4, 11 and 12, remembering that we are not the judge, and we should thank God that we are not the judge. So let's pray. Creator, we're coming now to a time of breaking of bread, declaring again that you have given yourself for us. I thank you for these two small scriptures that James wrote. I thank you for the way that you use the scripture in our lives, leading us to bigger places. Maybe not more numbers, maybe not more money, none of those things. But somehow inside us we come to bigger places. We come to the understanding that somehow we are accepted in this place. And in that you give life. And as your son says, you give life in abundance. So I would pray that as we think about our future, we would not think about what we don't have, but that we would think about the abundance. The abundance of knowledge and difference just sitting in this room. And yes, we're not going to agree on everything. But what gift if we can hear each other? What gift to be taken to new places, especially as we know that in these coming days and months and years, there will be many things that we will most likely disagree on. But you are the one who calls us to this place. And you are the one who, in fact, will lead us through those discussions, like you led us through the discussion of the blanket exercise. So thank you. We pray this in the name of the Creator Father who holds us. We pray this in the name of the Creator Son who, in fact, redeems and reconciles us. And we say these things in the name of the Creator Spirit who lives deep within us, giving us part in some ways of your DNA so that we can have rich seeds of imagination and rich seeds of learning where you're taking us and into which places. So with thanksgiving and gratitude, we offer you these prayers. And all the people said, Amen.